This is Rocky Mountain Voices, powered by PodTech.
Welcome to the Rocky Mountain Voices and Connect weekly podcast.
This is Tiffany Tetro, and I'm here with Colin Kelly Jr., the executive editor of Connect Magazine, for our weekly podcast of the technology news in the state of Utah for the week ending Friday, April 13th. Welcome, Colin, to the podcast.
Thanks, Sydney. It's great to be here.
So we have some actually really interesting news, I think, for the state of Utah this week, specifically that both Provo and Ogden were ranked number 2 and 11, respectively, on the Forbes Best Places for Businesses and Careers. That's actually an amazing step for our business environment.
It really is. It's nice to see two of our cities do so well. Salt Lake City was placed number 77th, which is still a good showing, too. So it's nice to have three cities all in the top 100. Provo being ranked number 2 is fantastic. I think the real interesting story here is Ogden making it to the number 11 spot. It's just really nice to see the hard work that's going on up in Ogden show some fruits like this. Ogden fell on hard times starting in the late 60s and kind of bottomed out in the late 90s. And then a few years ago, just a select handful, maybe 15 to 20 people up in Ogden, they woke up one day and just said, what has happened to our city and how can we fix it? And so there's been a organized, concerted effort over the last few years to really try to build Ogden's economy, build the infrastructure, and turn it around to what its real potential could be. So there's three people in particular I'd like to give kudos to. There's many up there that are actually working hard to build Ogden, but the three kind of standouts that I've seen lately are Mayor Matthew Godfrey, who his vision for Ogden has just been fantastic. He's a guy that cares deeply about the city, and he subscribes to the same economic philosophy as Governor Huntsman does, where both individuals realize they need to make more money that they can give to education and to infrastructure, transportation, roads, things like that. And they realize that, this is Utah. You can't just pull money out of thin air. You can't go into debt to make the money. So they both realize that in order to get the money for those programs, they need to increase the economy, and with that increased economic base comes increased tax revenue. So real kudos to Mayor Godfrey for getting this all started. Another businessman up there in Ogden that's just had a phenomenal impact is Alan Hall. And I think if I had to give out the best human in Utah award, Alan Hall would be the recipient. Alan and his wife, Jeannie, a couple of years ago came into an awful lot of money, and they decided, we just don't need all this money. What can we do to help? So they split their money up into two camps. They've given half of their money to educational programs to help educate kids, primarily in northern Utah. And then, so this will grow a better workforce of tomorrow. And then the other half of the money they've dumped into promoting businesses, making businesses grow. So in 10 to 20 years, there'll be more businesses for these kids to work at when they get out of school. And it's a nice 1-2 punch that Alan and his wife Jeannie had done, and they're just creating a fantastic legacy. A third individual I'd like to point out up in Ogden that's had a really interesting impact is Kurt Geiger, who is running the USA operations at Descente. Kurt is an Ogden native, but he left the state, I think, in the 70s or 80s and ended up running Descente out of Denver. Came back during the Olympics and realized that Ogden was situated in the perfect spot for the ski industry. So he convinced his board of directors, with the help of Mayor Matthew Godfrey, to relocate all of Descente to Ogden. He was the first ski company to do so. And Mayor Godfrey and Kurt Geiger have this vision of Ogden turning into the Milan of the ski industry. And so far, they've recruited 11 ski companies to relocate their headquarters to Ogden, and two more are slated to come in this year, I believe. So it's a nice effort, and it's really paying off. Ogden's trying to become the next Park City, and I think they might be able to pull it off.
Yeah, actually, that's a continued sentiment that I also have heard about the ski companies coming into the Ogden base. For those who are listening who don't know, Ogden and Provo, which were both ranked, sit along the Wasatch Range, which are the mountain ranges right by Salt Lake City, probably both of them within 15 or 30 minutes of Salt Lake City. So it's a really great thing that's happening to the entire corridor, I think, that reflects on the business community. I think we should mention, and you probably have some insight into that, of what factors Forbes actually considered cities to get on the list of best places for businesses and careers.
Yeah, three of their top factors were job growth, cost of doing business, and then the education attainment of citizens within the city. And so those are all three areas that Ogden, Provo, and Salt Lake City have been growing in over recent years. And it's just a good overall indicator that the economy in Utah is just exploding right now, doing very, very well.
That's right. And it actually comes on the heels of a couple of other data points that have come out recently for the state of Utah, specifically about our business environment, which I think are probably worth mentioning. I think there's just three kind of highlight ones that are really interesting for the state.
Yeah, there's been a few numbers that have been floating around the last few weeks that are very interesting. Our state's unemployment rate is down to 2.3%. It's an all-time low. Those numbers come from February 2007. We're about half of the unemployment rate of the nation. The Polina Corporate Real Estate Report recently ranked Utah number 5 on its list of the top 10 pro-business states. And the Kauffman Foundation released a report recently, and it's interesting. They ranked Utah 12th overall in the new economy sector, but Utah ranked number 1 in the category of economic dynamism. And it's an interesting category, and it just relates to the fact that Utah has a very active, very vibrant, and very promising economy right now.
Right, which is great. And I think it's just a great thing to point out, because consistently everywhere I go and tell people, our company's headquartered in the state of Utah, I always get that question about, okay, what types of businesses are there? And just even the fact that, there's over 3,900 technology companies and biotech companies sitting inside of Utah, I think also speaks volumes to actually what's happening in the state and the growth opportunities here. So just kind of circling on to our next story, which is the acquisition of Altiris by Symantec. And I think earlier this week, I think it was on Monday actually, that they received sign-off from their shareholders to go ahead.
The process is finally over. Altiris is a Symantec company now. It's about an $830 million deal. I think the buyout was $33 per share of Altiris. So it's $830 million is a big acquisition. It's a nice deal for both Symantec and Altiris. In some ways a nice deal for the state, some ways not so nice deal for the state of Utah. It's kind of some late breaking news just coming over the wire this morning. Evidently, some of the Altiris employees have filed a lawsuit claiming that the stock options weren't handled properly, and it sounds like some Altiris employees might not be getting their share of the pie from Symantec. But sometimes those things happen, and we'll see what kind of news comes out of that.
That's interesting. Well, I think like you mentioned, we have, and we've talked about even, previously a little bit, that we have the state is built up of lots of companies in that, $0 to $20 or $30 million range. Altiris happens to be one of our companies that has done extremely well and actually grown to be fairly large considering most of the other sizes of our companies here in the state. So, it's a great acquisition to show that we're building strong companies. And at the same time, it would have probably been nice to keep them independent for other specific business reasons.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it. Because of my job, I tend to see everything from the slant of an economic development angle. And it's nice to see these big deals transpire. However, here in Utah, we desperately need anchor companies. Once again, really since the days of WordPerfect and Novell and iOmega in their heyday in the late 80s, early 90s, have we had anchor companies. And it's so important to have anchor companies here because they spin off company after company after company. You could argue that Linden would not even exist in terms of from a technology standpoint if it wasn't for Novell and for WordPerfect. Probably half to three-fourths of the companies in Linden came as a result of Novell and WordPerfect. So I would have preferred to have seen Landesk or Altiris or both survive as their own entities as long as possible. But here were two direct competitors. It's interesting that two of the major players in the computer lifecycle management industry were here in Utah, and probably arguably the two largest innovators within the industry. Direct competitors, yet they were both sold to larger companies, within about 6 months of each other. So I kind of think about what it would have been like if we could have got one of those two companies, because both Landesk and Altiris were two of the few companies that actually had the true potential to grow up to be anchor companies someday. Altiris specifically, because they were a little farther along the road than Landesk was.
That's right. And I think it's interesting to note that from the Symantec point, that Symantec has actually acquired a number of companies. I don't know the exact number, but it's a handful of companies actually here in the state. And we're starting to get a greater and greater presence of actually Symantec here in the Utah corridor of technology businesses.
Yeah, and hopefully Symantec will continue the tradition of buying a company and leaving it more or less intact where it is. And we haven't heard many details yet of what's going to happen with Altera's staff, but my guess is they'll leave most of the operations and staff intact. Luckily, Adlisson did that with Landesk. There's been very, very little change over at Landesk to date in the way it's operated. So at least those employees are still here. At least the facilities are still here, but you know the company's technically not headquartered anymore. And it is a reversal of a trend. So it may be a sign that things are getting better. Up until a few years ago, the trend was for companies to be sold and then taken out of state. They were either forced out of state by new investors or by a lack of resources, and that's still going on. But lately you're seeing a reversal of that trend where companies are still being sold and acquired, but at least they're not moving them outside of the state.
Yeah, exactly. So those are actually, you know, great news or great elements of news that have happened this week. I think one other thing we wanted to mention is the campaign that Seth Godin has actually launched relative to his new book that he just released. And so we have a number of people who are trying to get Seth Godin to come and speak here in the state. And you can pledge your $50 to actually hear him speak here. I believe the URL is www.pledgebank.com/Seth Godin Utah. So it'll be interesting to see how Seth's experiment of, you know, reaching into the communities and promoting his new book actually works. Will be a good case study come another couple months from now. Well, I think that wraps up this edition of the weekly summary of the news that's been happening in the state of Utah. It's brought to you by Connect Magazine, and thank you for joining us.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.